Hey, what's going on, my friends? It's Dave Sharp. Welcome to Wake Up Legendary. And this morning, we've got a mama from Montana, a jack of all trades lady who is having fun while she's growing her business. She's going to teach you what she knows or can teach within this hour about how to do the same, how to have fun, how to build a business that as you're building it and getting it going see it as half glass full instead of half glass half empty. Get the old mouth warmed up here. Maybe spray a little bit of WD-40 in it. Whoa! Look at that. I just got my text message reminder here. If you want to get a text message, do you hear that? It literally just went off. If you want to get a text message reminder every morning, whenever we go live, with a little link that you can click right over to the show. We go live here on Facebook every single day on our business page. You can text WUL, the letters WUL, to 813-296-8553. This is my radio. WUL to 813-296-8553. If you want to get started with any of our education throughout this episode, you can go to legendarymarketer.com/enroll, legendarymarketer.com/enroll. And last but not least, any of the results that you hear on this show are going to be Lauren's results and Lauren's results only. They're not indicative of what you should expect, will accomplish. Each person has their own path. Each person has a different result based on the work they put in, their personality, their experience, their perseverance, their ability to be able to deal with risk, all of the things. Okay, so this is her experience and we're going to be sharing it and we're going to be delving into it as much as we can. So with that being said, let's jump into it. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
How'd you like the mama from Montana thing? I thought that was pretty clever.
I like it. That might have to be my new slogan.
I know, man. I know. I like that. I like that a lot. So Montana. Wow. I mean, awesome. It's nice to have somebody on the show from Montana. Can't remember the last time I did. Have you lived there your whole life?
I have not. I have lived here for, I guess it's been 3 years now. We're from Colorado. Me and my husband are from Colorado originally. Okay. So we've been here about 3 years.
Nice. Nice. Beautiful. And you have, you are a mama. You have a small child. This is your first?
It is. Yeah. We have a little girl. She's just shy of 14 months. So a little over a year. And she's our first so far. We are crazy and we want like four or five of them. So the first of many, hopefully.
Yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. So I would assume that this, doing this, and having those goals are somewhat intertwined. Can you tell us what is your main motivation of wanting to have an online business?
Well, I guess I always toyed with the idea of having something online. I mean, you see influencers all the time and they're posting about stuff and whatever, and you know that they're somehow they're making a living off of it. And so I always looked at that. My motivation was my husband owns his own company. He owns a life insurance agency. And while that is lucrative, it's a lot of work. It's 60 plus hours a week. He's on the road a lot. He travels a ton. He's working all the time. So, I wasn't really looking, I guess, at the moment. It kind of just fell into my lap, which you hear that a lot on the show. I wanted something to where I could bring in an income and take that burden off of my husband's shoulders just a little bit, but still be present with my daughter and be present with future kids. Cause that's my number one priority. And so that's kind of what got me into it is I saw this as an opportunity to generate income, to do it with minimal time. You know, you have to be consistent and it obviously does take time, but it's a lot less than a full-time or even a part-time job. And so that's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to help my husband out and free up his time, free up our finances a little bit. And of course, you know, who doesn't want a little extra money for travel, for just general things as a family?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. And so you were, you know, and you wrote a wonderful comment in your questionnaire saying you're jazzed to talk with me on the show. I would assume you've watched the show before, right?
Yep.
Cool. This company and community, which you put your whole life into building, has truly been pivotal for my family and our finances. Thank you for saying that. What, obviously that was, you know, or dropping me that note, obviously that's the glory, but we want to get into kind of the story of how it's become pivotal to you. So what was it like when you, you know, because it's one thing to see or hear, you mentioned influencers, and there's influencers all over the world in all kinds of different niches, connected to legendary, not connected to legendary. There were people on the internet talking about the things and doing the things we do long before we came along. And so when you decided to go from just maybe thinking about it or seeing things out on the internet to enrolling in our 15-day challenge, I would assume it became more real. You were making the decision to go from contemplation to action. What was that like, and how was that experience delving into our education those first few days or weeks? What was that like for you?
That was pretty crazy. I mean, obviously, the pieces started to fall into place behind what I had been seeing all of those years and finally understanding how they're doing it. They're not just posting random stuff and getting lucky and, like, good for them. That's so cool that they could do that. There's, you know, there's a system behind it. There's strategy behind it. They just figured it out before I did. But, you know, it's doable whenever you learn the skills. And so when I was learning that, I mean, the 15-day challenge, beyond teaching me the skills, it was a mindset shift. It was like I finally saw that I could do it. And I was so fired up on it, like bordering obsessive. It's like all I thought about for weeks. And I was just so excited to get into it because it finally clicked. And I was like, this is actually something that I can do. It's something that regular people can do. So yeah, it was really exciting learning all of that. And especially Rich Dad Poor Dad, the book mm-hmm. that you have us read in the challenge. That was pivotal. It was such a mindset flip for me.
Mm. And you're fairly young, much younger than I am. Congratulations. So, you know, when you say it was a mindset shift, which, by the way, hello, boom, a lot of us are coming in looking for the mechanics, but you know, we oftentimes are slapped in the face with the dynamics, mm-hmm. which I would describe as the intangibles, the pieces that you don't always see. You know, this is a huge part of this game. Building any business is going to come down to your mindset and how your ability to be able to persevere, your ability to be able to get a different perspective other than something that's negative and pessimistic. So as a young person, and just somebody who sounds like this was some of this material was your first time ever being exposed to it. What was that mindset shift for you?
I mean, I would say before, you know, it wasn't necessarily that I was pessimistic. I think I was more so just ignorant to what it all was. But I certainly thought, I did think a lot of that was luck for other people. And so I feel like the big shift for me was, you know, breaking down the thoughts of like, well, they're just so lucky, you know, good for them that they're lucky enough that happened. Like, I wish I had known about that back when, you know, YouTube and all that and TikTok were taking off. Like, I missed the boat, but good for them. Mm-hmm. And so I think a big part of that for me was, you know, realizing that it isn't too late, that really anyone can do this if they're consistent and if they learn the skills. And the consistency part for me was hard, because I'm definitely like, I'll hyper fixate on something for X amount of time and then, you know, get kind of good at it, and then I'll go on to my next hyper fixation. So that's just, I, you know, a lot of people do it. That's my personality type. But the biggest shift for me was just breaking down the lie I had been telling myself of like, you know, good for them, that's cool for them. But I, you know, I'm just a normal person, so that doesn't happen.
Gotta break this hat up a little bit, break it in. Man, I tell you, that's really something that you have that level of self-awareness. Congratulations on that, first and foremost. And those takeaways are, those are life-changing takeaways. I mean, yeah, to have a shift in perspective to realize that, wow, I was really looking at success in life as if it was, had a lot to do with luck. Mm-hmm. And look, I'm not here to say that success doesn't have anything to do with luck. You listen to Warren Buffett speak on his becoming the greatest investor of all time. And he says that, yeah, skill, education, a little bit of luck, mm-hmm, great partnerships, you know. But it's certainly not mostly or the majority luck.
No.
I love that you also were able to put on the metaphorical glasses and be able to now see what was actually happening on the internet instead of just looking at the internet and being confused about why everybody was doing what they're doing. You know, to the average person, the internet just looks like this big kind of, you ever seen that meme with Zach Zilliganophagus or whatever, guy from Hangover, where he's right, like, I forget, I don't know what that meme is from, if it's from a movie or whatever, but it's all the science, you know, yep, symbols that are just kind of moving in front of him, and he's just, yes, kind of, you know, like kind of overwhelmed. I think that that's, yeah, what the internet is to a lot of people, is that kind of looking at the internet and, you know, being kind of, overwhelmed by it. Let's see if I can, what's his name? Oh, Zach G.
Zach, I think, right? It's Zach Galifianakis. Is that how you say it?
let me share this one with everybody. Let me share this one. This is the one I'm talking about. You know, you kind of looking at the internet and just being like, you know, wow, this is really overwhelming. Okay. So, mm-hmm, that's really clear about the limiting beliefs that you needed to overcome. Do you remember any of the takeaways from the Rich Dad, Poor Dad? Was it something to do with the cash flow quadrant? Was it something to do with his storytelling ability of his rich dad and his poor dad? What stuck out to you with those stories in that piece? Anything in particular?
I mean, yeah, definitely the storytelling aspect of it. I mean, just as a personal story from my life. So 4 years ago, I guess, at this point, maybe 3 years ago, my husband did not own his agency. He was a fly fishing guide. I worked at a church, at a nonprofit. I worked at a nonprofit and I was the breadwinner. So that's a problem. We were making like nothing. And I mean, yeah, we were young. And so we had the excuse of like, we're fresh out of college, whatever, but we were making like nothing. And so, you know, fast forward, he gets into life insurance, which he had never done before, but ends up being really good at it. And his agency takes off. He does great. And so now we're making all this money, like more than we had ever made. And we had no clue how to manage it. I mean, he didn't start an LLC. So then we got, you know, marked on taxes. And then we were acting like Bill Gates out here, buying what we wanted, doing what we wanted, not investing, not saving, not paying down debt, just like being crazy kids. And so I think if we had that knowledge, or if I had read that book and just had that shift in perspective from the money management aspect and how to take wealth and grow it and make sure that you're taken care of for life, it would have saved us a lot of headaches. It really would have. So, you know, that's why I like it so much. And not that we're perfect with money now by any stretch, but after reading that and just, you know, continuing to go through and learn things, and we're a whole lot smarter and we're in a lot better of a place now because of it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, totally. Good for you. Good for you. I love that you've dove in and utilized all the resources, which is such an important part of having success here. If you're going to go through our courses in education, or if you're going to go through anywhere else or learn anywhere, hell, if you all say, you know, screw these guys, I'm going to learn this on my own, I'm going to do it for free, hey, more power to you. Just know that you're going to have to dedicate yourself. You're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to soak up all the resources. You're going to have to sift through information. Mm-hmm. You know, what we try to do here is try to, you know, create an organizational flow and various different supportive resources and accountability and community here to make it, you know, a more, you know, a clear path and have all the resources in one place. Mm-hmm. But you still have to use the resources. And oh, yeah. So the fact that you're, you know, taking the book recommendations, you know, you decided to enroll in the blueprints, I believe, which again is not a mandatory thing for people. It's an advanced, our flagship program that we offer instead of offering a bunch of different things up until this point. That has been our business model, is having kind of one core program, an appetizer that you can dip your toe in and, you know, for a very low cost, get your feet wet and decide if this is for you. And like, and, you know, many other companies out there have an additional upgrade if you are serious about it and if you like it and if you feel like this is something you want to dedicate yourself to. Mm-hmm. You must have by that time felt like, hey, I'm going all in here in terms of learning these skill sets. You put your money where your mouth was. What was that decision like to make an even more committed decision with your finances, with your time, with your energy? And what have you gotten out of that decision by enrolling in the blueprints and I guess fully utilizing all the, I mean, even saying you've watched Wake Up Legendary. So you're utilizing all the resources here. What is your advice or what has your experience been with utilizing all the resources here and getting the results that you've gotten versus, I guess, an alternative, which could have very easily been what you described earlier, which is been really excited for a week or two and then kind of tapered off. What has been different about this? Why do you feel like you've stuck with it, gone all in, made that decision to enroll in our blueprints, kind of the whole nine yards? What comes up for you asking that question?
Well, like you just said, with the hyperfixation thing, I knew, you know, I could go look this up. I've done that in the past with certain things and, you know, where did that get me? And I kind of saw that. I said, if I go do this on my own, I'm probably going to research. I'm going to keep getting ready to get ready and, you know, planning everything in a color-coded little planner. And then I'm never actually going to do it, which has happened to me so many times in life. So I knew that. And I figured going into it, because I had heard from a lot of people, you know, from watching this show and just doing a little research, that consistency and just staying with it, even in the beginning when you kind of feel crazy, is the key. And there's no like secret sauce, really. It's just you got to stay doing it. And that's, you know, most people aren't going to do that. And that's why they're not successful. So knowing that, I said, if I can give, you know, I gave 3.5 years to college. If I can do that and get, I didn't get a whole lot. I, you know, the jobs that I got after college weren't really related to my degree. So if I can give 3.5 years to that and not really see results and, you know, go on about my life like that's normal, I said, I'm going to give this a year. I'm going to give this a year. And if I fail miserably at it and I don't even, you know, make my money back or see any results, then we'll pivot from there. But I said, if I can give 3.5 years to college, I can give a year to this. And so that was always my game plan. We're just shy of 5 months now. First 2 months were kind of crickets. And that's when I said, you know, everyone says stick with it. You gotta be consistent. You gotta show up. So I did. And then, you know, right at that point where things are starting to feel just absolutely mind numbing and you're like, why am I doing this? I'm not getting any results. Then I started seeing results. And then you just keep showing up and you see more results. And it really is compounding. And that's not unique to this field. It's not unique to Wake Up Legendary or, you know, to Legendary Marketer. It's not. It's any, if I had gone into the niche of motherhood, which I did consider, or fitness, which I considered, it's just showing up. So many hat throws.
I'm beating this. I'm going to break this hat today. I'm going to break the bill on this hat. Golly, you know, that that is going to become our message here at Legendary Marketer, is mm-hmm. that if you think that you're going to be successful right off the bat, you're not. Mm-hmm. Like anything in life, you are going to have to stick with it. You are going to have to make a and I love your year I love your year commitment. That is something that I've been saying for years. Okay. I've got videos out on the internet that prove that I've been saying this for years. How long would you be willing to stick with this, building an online business? One particular business model. I'm not talking about building an online business, meaning that you're enrolling in a new course every day, starting a new biz op, enrolling into MLMs. This month it's drop shipping. Let's try affiliate marketing again. Okay, I'll try to build my own course. No, one model, one path, one business, one education platform. Would you be willing to stick with it for a year without giving up, without slowing down, like find a consistent pattern in which you could show up, a consistent method, daily method or weekly method of operation that you could show up, sort of like work hours. Yeah. Look, I'm going to, like it was a, wait for it, like it was a job, like it was a job.
Yeah.
Okay, like any job that you would have to show up to, would you be willing to show up in your business as your number one employee for a year before giving up, switching directions, getting distracted, complaining? I mean, you can complain. Excuse me. I don't mean don't complain. Complain all you want. Whine all you want. But don't stop.
Yeah.
Be just like you would with your job. Show up every day and follow through and do the work. Do your job, whatever your daily method of operation is, whatever you can commit to for a year without getting distracted or giving up. And the truth is that I say this and it sounds ambiguous and hypey, but it sounds like you resonate with this, and this is exactly what happened. Most people give up before the miracle happens. And what I mean by miracle is it's sort of like that meme where the guy's digging for gold, the cartoon meme where he's digging for gold and he gives up right before the big nugget, right? And this is such a common thing. And I love to hear your story of right when it was not mind-numbing, which, by the way, friends, wasn't years into it, okay? You said 2 months, which mm-hmm. is the freckle on the pimple of a gnat's ass in comparison to actually the lifespan of an average legitimate business, successful business. It's the freckle on the pit. Now I want you to imagine this, visualize this with me. There's a pimple on a gnat's ass, and this is just the freckle on that pimple. That's how small, like 2 months, is in the lifespan of a regular successful business.
Right.
Yes, those 2 months can feel agonizing. Why do they feel agonizing? Because you're doing all this shit you've never done before.
It's uncomfortable, yeah.
It's uncomfortable as hell. And so what was some of the most uncomfortable parts for you that made it so mind-numbing so others can identify and relate and not feel so alone? I think I read as I was scanning that you had the comparisonitis and copycat syndrome. What was mind-numbing? What was grueling in those first few months that made the time go by so slow and it be such a mind-numbing process?
Probably just the discipline of it all. I mean,
that was new, right?
For me personally, I'm kind of squirrely, you know, I like to do things when I do them. I like to have freedom. I think that's a lot of entrepreneurial people want to work on their time, on their terms. And that's definitely how I am. And so, you know, to have to show up to something every day and, you know, post at certain times and consistently create content you know, balance that with being a mom, being a wife, being a friend, sibling, all of the just little responsibilities that you have throughout the day. And you have that excitement at first, right? Like this, like you're like how I said earlier, I was like obsessive and like I couldn't stop thinking about it. And so of course, when you're running on that high, it's so easy to just, you know, go through everything, set it all up, get going. And then once you hit like a month, you get into 2 months, you're like, okay, this is good. I have everything set up. I'm not seeing results. And you just kind of get in a hurry. And so still showing up during that, it was the discipline for me for sure. And it's kind of crazy how staying disciplined in this has translated into a lot of other parts of my life as well. And it also helped me to identify a lot of parts in my life that I wasn't disciplined and that I just didn't see that as an issue before. And I, like looking now, I can see how much stress that was actually causing in my life. And being disciplined in this, I was able to get systems in place kind of in a lot of areas in my life. So, but yeah, that's the, I would say that was the biggest pain point. Like when I say it was mind numbing, it was, I have to get up again and I have to make more content tomorrow. And I have to, you know, I have to engage with people and whatever. And these are the things that you have to do to grow in the beginning. It doesn't make them, you know, it's not that it's hard. It's really, really simple stuff, but it's tedious and disciplined in a way that I hadn't been before. And I know a lot of other people have never had to be before.
Yeah. That's so powerful. That's really, really well said, clear and honest. Thank you for that. It's hard, you know, God, you're a college graduate. You're a successful.
No.
Okay. You're a successful person by all sort of, you know, from looking from the outside in. Yep. You could very easily put up the facade or the image that I've got it all together. I don't have any problems. I don't need any help. And yet here you are, you know, starting this journey with this level of self-awareness and this vulnerability and this honesty here with us. Obviously, you've been that way for yourself, and that's so critical. So many of us are scared, to be honest, scared to admit that, ooh, I haven't been disciplined. You know, we, it's hard to take ownership. It's hard to look in the mirror. It's hard to point the finger at ourselves. How has that changed your life to start taking ownership, to start instead of looking outside or to others to find fault or to be a victim? Or to, you know, make it somebody else's fault or problem that you're not getting the results that you want. How has this process, because I already see it. So it's not like, have you started to take ownership? It's like you are in full personal responsibility mode and you're fully seeing where you can improve, how you can get better, where you were lacking in the past, specifically with discipline you just mentioned. How has that level of taking ownership, that ruthless responsibility that you're demonstrating, that you clearly have developed within yourself, how has that changed your life?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a lot of it coming from this and a lot of it coming from becoming a mom, right? Because that's a whole other level of discipline and showing up every single day. And so I think that they've kind of gone hand in hand and happening almost at the same time, just, you know, months apart. It's changed every aspect of my life. I mean, really just helping me to connect the dots of, you know, whatever result it is that I want, I'm in charge of getting it by setting up, you know, baby step discipline systems, essentially. And that's with anything, you know, if you're trying to lose weight, you have to have a plan in place to do that. If you want to start a business, if you want to be a parent and still have time for yourself, you're going to have to get up at whatever time in the day and get these tasks done to still be present with your kid. Like, I guess it all just helped me to take a step back and realize that, like, whatever I want to accomplish, I'm going to have to make a game plan and stick with it. And that I'm the one that's, no one's, you know, I hear this on the show all the time. No one's coming to save you, but I don't think that that clicks with people until it does. You know, like it really is true. You're the one that's, no one cares about starting your business for you or making sure that you have time with your kids. No one cares about that as much as you do. So
I think that's the rude reality that you're, and I love that you pointed that out. You're so right. You're experiencing that with both motherhood as well as, entrepreneurship. And what the ruthless reality is, nobody's coming to take care of your kid. Nobody's coming.
You find that out quickly.
You know what I mean? Like your kid could be laying there starving. And I mean, sure. I mean, there's some, you know, maybe the government might step in if you're lucky to have a family member, but nobody's going to raise your kid for you. Nobody's going to make sure your kid has food on the table to eat. Nobody's going to make sure your kid has a roof over its head. Nobody's going to make sure that your kid has a nice bed to sleep in. Nobody's going to make sure that your kid has nice clothes to wear.
Yeah.
Your child, our children, you could go to school in shoes with no soles and people would just be like, that's sad.
Yep.
That's sad. Maybe somebody might give them some shoes.
Yeah.
But we're talking about in the richest country in the world. There's kids who are starving in this country who don't eat. They gotta go to school to get a full meal.
Mm-hmm.
Their safe place is the public school system. So yeah, nobody's coming to save us, man. And damn sure ain't nobody coming to build our business for us.
No.
Nobody's coming to do our job. I mean, it's, you know, we're not even entitled to a job. So this idea of taking ruthless responsibility, which starts with ruthless self-honesty and really having a wake-up call, really taking responsibility, really kind of setting realistic goals so you don't get discouraged when things don't happen within a week or a month or two or three. But set yourself a realistic goal, because we tend to really underestimate what we can accomplish long term and drastically overestimate what we can accomplish short term.
Yep. And it's those small wins for sure that, I mean, if you want to talk about being able to show up every single day, you have to find a way, and time management's been a huge thing for me on this, but you have to find a way to make sure you have little wins each day, each hour even. That way you can, I mean, you can look and say, I want to have, you know, a six-figure business by the end of the year. It's not a very good or measurable goal, and it's certainly not something that day to day you're going to feel like you've been doing. So being able to back things up and have, I mean, like we've been saying, actionable steps, just saying like, what do I want to do? How am I going to do it? And then once you identify that, just like, what are the little baby steps that branch out from that I need to do every day, hour, whatever. And then writing that all down so that you can see how to fit it in each day. Like, what are all of the responsibilities that I have to do? And for me, I have those broken up into what tasks can I do when my child's awake and what can I do when she's sleeping? Because I, you know, those are different, but being able to systemize everything, in this industry or any industry that you're in charge of running a business is, I think, crucial.
And these can be skills that somebody could use. Even, I think one of the most beautiful opportunities that many of you have is to start implementing these sort of skill sets and systems into both your business, but also if you have an existing job, you become better at that job. You don't just go from sucking at your job to crushing it in your business, right? How you do one thing is how you do everything. At least that's my experience, right? And so what are some of your time management tips? How have you honed in as a new mom and a new business owner, your ability to be able to get things done and stay consistent?
Well, the one, like what I just talked about, breaking down my tasks into like what can fit where. So for me, and this might not relate to everybody, but motherhood, there are certain things that I'm comfortable doing when my daughter's around, right? Like I can do laundry, I can do dishes, I can clean up the house when she's awake because she can play and follow me around and I can get her involved. Things I'm not comfortable doing when she's awake would be looking at my phone like a zombie and doing what I need to do for this, you know, for affiliate marketing, but making content. I don't want my daughter to feel or grow up seeing me like ignoring her for technology. That's just not the kind of parent that I want to be. So breaking down tasks into what I need to do when, or, you know, for some people, if that's morning tasks versus evening tasks, and categorizing those. So now you have it on paper, you know what you need to do and which categories they're in. Well, then you just break down how many hours in the day you have the time to do it. If you work a full-time job, that's going to look a little different. You're going to have to get up a little earlier. You're going to have to go to bed a little later, but you can still break down everything into categories and, you know, kind of, I'm a big fan of time blocking, not obsessively, right? We don't want to be looking at our planner every minute of the day, like, okay, what do I need to do now? But just having something to reference so you know what tasks need to get done and you get it out of your head. I know, what is it called? The Pomodoro method. I'm not so strict as to like follow that, you know, to a T, but I do like the idea of setting a time and saying, this is all my brain is working on during this time, especially being squirrely like I am, doing that for that amount of time. And then the timer goes off. I go, I walk around, I get a drink of water, go outside, and then come back and do whatever my next task is. And that's just a really good way to stay productive. I think it's really, really easy to, especially in something like this, where you're learning new skills and it's completely new, you don't know anything about it. It's really easy to say you're going to batch content and then you end up researching for an hour and you haven't batched any content. And now that was the only time you had to batch content. And now there's your excuse to not post for the week and whatever. So I think if you say I'm doing this during this time and you set a timer and you get it done, then you're getting your work done. But that's also one of those little wins, right? That was 25 minutes of a task. Now you have, it's that feedback loop of, okay, I did what I was supposed to do. That was a little win. Working towards my goal, it's what keeps you chugging along, I think, with consistency. Yeah.
And I would assume when you say little wins, it's not always, that's not always tied to some sort of a financial gain. That's mm-hmm. about accomplishment, feeling accomplished, feeling productive versus mm-hmm. the guilt and shame of setting a goal, like I'm going to go do this, I'm going to record videos, I'm going to batch content, and then not following through with that. Yep. Is that right?
Yeah. Actually, in the beginning, first couple months, and this is my experience, obviously, but there was no financial reward. All of my wins, big or small, were, you know, productivity related, or like, you know, I got my funnel set up or whatever. So it wasn't financial, which is kind of cool to get used to in the beginning, because then that becomes like your intrinsic motivation. And then once you do start getting financial rewards, that's great. That was obviously why you got into it, but now you're used to being motivated by other things, which is totally kind of cool.
I love that. It, the money becomes the byproduct mm-hmm. of the system and you being organized.
Yeah.
Grant Temple said that, hey, what's up, Grant? Dang, that's awesome. How many people do you think could benefit from being more organized in this regard? She could probably turn this into a mini course or digital product for her audience. Have you ever thought about that?
I did toy with the idea of like making some kind of like a planner specifically for people that are getting into affiliate marketing or just the online space. So that's something I've toyed with. But in the same vein, I'm still very new at this, and my temptation is to do all of these things.
Sure.
And then I end up not doing a good job at any of them. So I do like an okay job at all of them. And so right now, although I have a million ideas in my head of things to do in the future, I am focusing on one thing at a time. And this goes back to planning. Anytime I have crazy ideas like that, I write them down and I kind of timeline them out to say, okay, I'm going to do this for this amount of time. And then once I see results, then I'll move into this step, which will fund this step, which is kind of going back to Rich Dad Poor Dad in a way. But to long-winded way of saying, I have considered doing something like that. Yeah.
Totally. Love it. No, there's no, we'll take all the wind you can give. Mm-hmm. Mick says these are golden productivity focus and discipline tips. Well done, Lauren. Yes, you have it in you. One baby step your way there. Your focus in teaching played a bill. I'm a ninth grade dropout. What the hell is that?
Ability.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jennifer
coming in with big words.
Jennifer, my God, relax. This is a This is, we got to keep this on a fifth grade reading level. Gorette says, I love that idea. Thank you, Lauren. Sounds like you know yourself so well. I agree.
We're working on it.
This hits home so much, says Jim. Thanks, Dave and Lauren. So real and setting the right expectations. Thank you for your insight, Lauren. Gosh, this has been so good. I relate so much to her. This is all so sweet and supportive. Thank you all for the wonderful feedback for Lauren. So we've got a couple of questions coming in. Why not take a few?
Yeah.
Tess said, what kept you motivated? You kind of covered some of that stuff before. Do you want to just revisit that real brief and then we'll take a couple more questions?
Yeah. I mean, obviously my why of why I got into it keeps me motivated. You know, my husband working all the time. We want a big family. We're in Montana. We want land. We want chickens, goats, all the crazy things. So, but I have no interest in doing that while my husband's working 60 plus hours a week and being like a, you know, single parent and having all that stuff. Like, of course I want that life, but I don't want to do it more or less alone. So that's my why. Mm-hmm. And that kept me motivated. Also, once you stick with it and you grow an audience, obviously, but I've made a lot of friends that are also in affiliate marketing through this. And so we kind of hype each other up and keep each other company. So I would say that the friendships that I've made have also kept me going.
Awesome. I think that's undervalued, underrated, you know. JJ said, what has been your biggest challenge?
Biggest challenge? I mean, we talked on discipline. For me, that's hard. And just showing up every day because I hadn't really had to do that with anything else. And it's different than showing up to obviously I've had a 9-to-5 and you have to show up for that. Biggest challenge, I mean, I don't know if it's my biggest, but it's been definitely a highlight challenge is in the beginning, finding a way to juggle motherhood with starting this, learning all these new skills while I'm still learning how to be a mom and learning, you know, feeding schedules, sleeping schedules, whatever it is. Like, it's a lot to learn at one time.
Yeah.
And not letting myself get to the point of burnout with that, you know, I would say that's been my biggest challenge. And if anything, probably still continues to be my biggest challenge is finding the right balance of motherhood and being a wife and being a friend and staying involved in my life that existed before this.
Yeah.
And then showing up for this every day because that is so important. So finding that balance. And I think anyone that is a business owner, balancing those.
Yeah, totally. And I think you knowing when the right time or kind of listening to your gut about the right time to do something new, try something new in your business. Grant made the wonderful recommendation and you kind of said in a roundabout way, great idea, just not now, right? Because mm-hmm. I know myself and I could go all in on that and then sort of let off the pedal over here on what's already bringing me success. And then I might spread myself too thin, get burned out. And I think that is the wonderful self-awareness I'm talking about, listening to your gut and doing one thing at a time. This is another big mistake that I see new marketers making online is that they start getting success in one area and then, like Grant suggested and I presented, maybe go to create a course or go to do something else. And while working on that, let off the pedal on this thing and they stop. All of a sudden, the income drops. They stop getting the results that they were getting. Although they were starting something new and maybe taking it to the next level, they stopped doing what they were doing instead of figuring out how to keep that going while adding to it.
Yeah.
If you add a course or you add a coaching program to your info business, your info marketing business, it's important not to stop doing whatever you were doing in the beginning that was getting you results. You want to stack, not replace. Right. Otherwise, it's like a job, right? You're quitting one job to start another.
Yep. Yeah, and I think a lot of people, they want to do so many things. At least people, I've talked to quite a few people that are interested in a lot of niches, right? And so, or even little subcategories of the same niche. Mm-hmm. And I think people really underestimate the power of the email marketing side of things, right? Because that's where, instead of having to go out and create a bunch of different accounts or a bunch of different things promoting all these different things, you can just focus on the one thing that's been successful, the one thing that's driving traffic, the one thing that's been working, and then take advantage of that email list you've been building to incorporate so many other things, which again is a skill that like nobody knows until learning it online through whatever, if it's the 15-day challenge or whatever you choose to learn it on. Yeah. But that's such a powerful way to incorporate. Like, I know I get the shiny object syndrome really bad. And so if you have that, so long as it's not totally off base in your niche, you can probably find a way to weave it in to your audience, to your email list. Yeah. And I think that that, at least for me, that's taken a lot of the stress off of like, how am I going to promote all these things? I'm going to have to spend so much time, you know, running different social media pages. And it's like, no, just stay consistent, stay with the one that's working, and then take the skills that you've learned and apply it to your email list, which is really cool.
Another underrated asset, and this is what we teach in the 15-day challenge and throughout our education, is that that email list is the one thing that you own. It's the one thing that's your property within your business. It's your proprietary information. And it's not your Facebook account. You know, you see these people who are like, they post on their Facebook, I do not give Facebook permission to, Facebook owns whatever you post on it, man.
Yep.
Facebook owns that. You don't own that.
Mm-hmm.
They can shut you down, deactivate your account, do whatever they want with your content. Yep. Now they're going to respect your privacy because they've got the microscope and the magnifying glass on them to do so. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that, you know, yeah, you don't own that, but you do own your email list. And second, yes, weaving in various offers, again, like we teach in the Fishing Formula Business Plan, second helping, third helping, fourth helping, 400th helping,
mm-hmm.
you know, weaving in, connecting stories and different products to your email list and really nurturing your audience. So when they open their inbox and they see you there with a story, with something to check out, they engage with it, they check it out. A certain percentage of them will take your recommendation and make that purchase.
Yeah.
So you're so right. We don't need to create 50 new front doors or businesses or things that we're selling on the front end. We really need to utilize that email list, that database in a better way to introduce whatever it is that we want, whatever we're feeling shiny about and we want to introduce to our audience. Yeah, it's such a simple way to do that by just writing an email.
It is. And especially once it's automated and it just sends, I mean, you add it to your campaign and then you do it one time. That's been one of the, I mean, it sounds so simple, but that's been such a mind blowing aspect of it for me, is just the automation of it, especially as a mom.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And you're writing, I think I read that you're writing one email per week and then to your list and then adding that to your autoresponder follow-up series. Is that, so you write it, you send it live, but then you add it to the back of your follow-up series?
Well, when I just add it to the campaign and it automatically sends it out to whoever's next in the, in that line. So I try to keep it like, you know, staged, because I have them kind of strategically so that they make sense next to each other. So then when I add it, it just goes into that. And then as they funnel through, like I have one that only sends on Sundays because it's specifically talking about like the Sunday scaries. So that, like, it just has to kind of be staged, but it adds it automatically.
Yeah. So if you all are feeling overwhelmed about how do I write, you know, and add dozens of new emails to my autoresponder series to have actual emails that go out. Well, if you write one a year, there's 52,
mm-hmm.
or excuse me, one a week.
Yeah.
If you wrote one a day, which was always kind of the most important thing when I was only doing affiliate marketing coming up, the most important thing was that I wrote an email to my list every day. That was it. We've kind of gotten away from that because when I started, email was it, man. I mean, it wasn't three videos a day on TikTok or Instagram because short form video didn't exist. If you were going to do a video, that baby was going to be longer form and that sucker was going on YouTube, mm-hmm. you know, or, you know, you were just posting that thing on posting that movie on Facebook or wherever, but you dang sure weren't doing a 30-second reel. So it was all about like running ads and using, you know, posting pictures and text on social media only to your friends, you know, or people who followed you or liked your business page. It wasn't like you could go viral to people that you didn't have following you, but it was all about that email list. And nowadays we got students who are building email lists of 10, 20, 100,000 people. I mean, boy, I had a small list for the longest time. Talking about a couple few thousand people, 5,000 built. I had lists. If I got it up to 10,000, which I did, I was bawling. You know, I was like, oh, I got a big list. Yeah. And it's like nowadays you can build a list of 10,000 people, you know, relatively quickly compared to back then.
Yeah.
And, but we don't email a lot. We don't email as much. It sort of has gone down on the spectrum of importance, or at least it feels that way because everybody's so obsessed to post videos. But that email list is, that's where people, they go and they open their inbox to buy and do business. They go on social media to scroll and be entertained.
Yeah.
You know, so it's important to kind of train your audience to do certain things where they're already comfortable doing them at. And a lot of people try to sell on social media and then entertain in the inbox. And that's not where people naturally go to do those things. They go to social media to get edutainment and they go to their inbox to do business. So if you can keep it light and keep the, you know, serve them those kind of appetizers, those little, you know, I look at the social media sort of like when you're walking through the mall and you're about to leave and you walk through the food court, they hit you with that piece of bourbon chicken on that toothpick and you're just like, yeah. nim. You know, just a little morsel, just enough. You don't really have time to sit down and have a full meal, but nice little bite of that bourbon shit. That's always been my favorite. I could never not take that. And I just take it. It's like, right. But you know, if I wanted to do business that I wasn't in the mode to like sit down and do a full thing at that time. And that's what I think social media is. But you know, the inbox is more when you go, you set a reservation to sit down and eat a meal, you know, you're going there to eat. That's kind of what your inbox is. So yeah. I think it's just food for thought for people here listening to think about, you know, where, what am I doing? Do I have the right intention on social media with my videos? Because I think people take it so seriously and they don't go through the education. So they're talking about product names and they're making a lot of mistakes with their social media marketing content. When really it's just about edutainment. It's about keeping it light. It's about keeping it valuable. It's about keeping it entertaining and getting people into your funnel and onto your email list so you can start doing business with them.
Yeah.
What have you learned about yourself throughout this process as we bring this in for a landing that you either didn't know or you are excited to learn about yourself?
I don't know if I learned it or just proved it, but I figured out that I can stick with things even when they're challenging, that I don't have to just jump ship and run to the next exciting thing, and that it's okay if it's hard and unsuccessful to start with. That's not reflective of how it'll end up.
Yeah. Love that. Love that.
It's taught me a lot about, you know, mental strength and being able to push through things, that and motherhood at the same time. But it's been a journey for sure.
Yeah. Well, it looks great on you and congratulations. And you've, you know, built your, it appears anyways, I would imagine you've built your confidence in this process. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Where would you say your confidence was before if you were to grade it on 1 to 10, and where would you say it is now after where you're at now versus like before you started this?
Probably would depend on what aspect you asked me in. Business-wise.
Business-wise,
I I probably wouldn't have had any confidence with it. I mean, sure, if you had asked me, you know, if I handed you a business, could you run it? I probably would have said yes, because I'm optimistic. But now it's not a guessing game. It's not like I bet I could do it. It's like, I know I could do this. I could do this in any niche if I wanted to right now. I think about that all the time. Like, what is the next 5-10 years, whatever, if I want to branch into doing other things? I have the skills and the confidence to know that I can do it. I could do it with any niche. And that's really cool. I mean, it makes you feel a lot more confident, a lot more powerful when it comes to business. Because, I mean, even social media, even let's say if email didn't exist, I don't see that world happening. But if it didn't, that can be taken. No one can take the skills that you learn or the things that it's taught you. So I mean, my confidence as far as business goes is like a 10 now.
Good for you. Yeah. Good for you. Well, keep up the wonderful, amazing work, Lauren. Stay legendary, my friend. My best to you and your beautiful family, your wonderful husband and your new daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I look forward to getting an update in a couple of months on your progress. Okay. Thanks for the amazing time this morning. People are like crazy about you in the comments. I mean, you know, all just the, you know, and thank you all for validating Lauren in the way that she deserves. The affirmations and the support have been amazing. And hopefully you get a chance to go back and take some of them in. You know, Bonnie said, thank you for all your wisdom. Yes, true knowledge indeed. Great job, Lauren. Amazing. You are so inspiring, Lauren. Thank you for sharing your time with us. Good job, Lauren. I love your journey. So educational. Your confidence shines like a diamond. Thank you for being here. Please consider teaching this, creating teaching videos. You're gifted at communication. You ever had anybody tell you that before this?
You know, no, actually, I've been told I'm an extrovert. Yeah, but that's about it.
Amazing, Lauren, trying to write them all down. My friend, you can go back and review the replay of the business as well. Just so much love coming in for you. So honest and real. The show inspires me more every time I watch it. Thank y'all so much. There's so much to gain from these. JJ, you're welcome, my friend. Thanks for your question earlier. Another great episode. Nobody can take away your awesome confidence, says Adelita. And that's so true. You know, Lauren, you touched on that about these being, you know, people can take, you know, you can have many things taken away from you, but not the knowledge you learn, the skills you develop, or the confidence you gain from actually following through with something and actually doing it, learning it, becoming better at it. It's just wonderful, Lauren. Wonderful. Just so many nuggets, as Michaela says, so much free golden nuggets this morning. Thank you. And that is so true. We're going to take our dump trucks and just scoop them all up and
fill them up.
Yeah. Fill them up, baby. All right, Lauren. Hey, I know you have a busy life and a little daughter that's waiting on you and a business to run. So thank you for your time today, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for all that you do.
Oh, you're so welcome. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
All right, my friends. Wow. Thank you, everybody, for all this. Relate to you so much, Jen. I'm glad that you do. Hey, lots of gold nuggets. You're welcome. Hey, don't thank me. Thank our guests. They're the ones who are coming on here spilling the beans. Yes, we'll be rewatching this one. Karen, glad to hear it. You could be a model, they say to Lauren. Wow, what a compliment. I know you ain't talking to me. With a mug only a mother could love. Yes, she is very gifted and so confident. Love it. Thanks, Dave, for continuing hosting. Hey, you're welcome. I'm here. I'm here for it. Congratulations, Lauren. Thank you so much for the insights. I've resonated with you so much. I'm excited to follow you and get more inspiration from you. Hey, I love it. I love the connections being made here. I love how you affirm people. Aw, thank you. And I love that you are affirming people on our guest on the show. It's wonderful. Tess, thanks for being here. I always love to see you. Can we get the blueprints if we still took the challenge months ago? Yes, you can. They sell individually, so you can buy any of them individually at any time after you complete the challenge. Really good interview. She was great. Yes. I agree, man. I agree. So many comments. Wow. Thank you, guys. Gigi, you thought that was funny? I know. I think I'm funny, too, which is, I think, the first step in comedy. You've actually got to think you're funny, right? Because what if nobody laughs, right? You got to at least have a good time. This wouldn't be what it is without you, Dave. Aw, Catherine. Thank you. I'm getting a little bit of love, too. Hey, but it's all about Lauren this morning, okay? She is the rock star. And yes, go find her at The Affiliate Housewife. Okay, The Affiliate Housewife over on Instagram. I believe she's got a Facebook as well. The Affiliate Housewife on Facebook as well. So yeah, you can check her out. You can follow her. You can learn from her. You can support her. All the things. I love that. And I love all of you. Thank you for the support. Thank you for being here. And we know that you wouldn't be here unless we were dishing out the nugs. So scoop them up, baby. Fill up your truck. But most importantly, use them. Put them to work, right? Deploy them. You're entitled to that. We're giving out this information for free here on the show. We do it every single day. If you're brand new, we're here at 10 a.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. You can text WUL for Wake Up Legendary to 813-296-8553 to get a little text message reminder. Also, remember, you can watch the replay on the Facebook page. You can also listen to the replay on all the major podcast platforms. So you can go to, you know, Apple Podcasts or whatever, type in Wake Up Legendary, and later today, listen to Lauren's episode. Yes, we're really that fast at getting it up. So soak this stuff up. Don't take it for granted because it's free. You know, they say if you don't pay, you don't pay attention. I tend to believe that, but let's prove them wrong. Both use our paid curriculum because obviously, it's valuable, and there's so many testimonials about its value, but also soak up all of this stuff that we're giving away for free just for you to use in combination, in collaboration with our education. And with that being said, get out of here, my friends. Have a wonderful Tuesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow for another episode. Peace.